It's that time of the day of the week. Burt Macklin, everyone. Stopping in for his regular Friday segment. I bet he's got a lot of good stuff for us, Houston.
I'm sure of it.
Burt, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I hope you all are having a fantastic start to your Friday.
You too, Burt.
Freedom Friday, Burt. How about that?
Ooh, sounds nice. Ben Joyce was really bringing the heat in that Craven Wings commercial. I'm going to have to get up there this weekend. I really love the enthusiasm, and his voice really sold it for me.
You coming up here this weekend for real?
Yeah, well, I won't be coming up till tomorrow. Normally I would come, but Stranger Things Volume Part, or I guess Season 4 Part 2 drops today. So I'm like, well, that's like 4 hours of content. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to go ahead and watch it once I get back the house later tonight, so I'm just going to go ahead and do the thing where I just basically check out after shut off all the phones, just sit down for about 4 to 5 hours, just consume all of that, then go to bed, get up, and I'll drive up in the morning.
What are your thoughts on that, Ben?
This season?
Yeah.
Definitely a lot darker. I still love the show. I don't like this season so far more than I did season three. Season three is kind of like it's been the best season so far in my opinion. But I'm really interested to see what they do for these final two episodes, and then obviously the final season will come in a couple of years. But it honestly is number one as far as all time shows for me. Game of Thrones was up there until their final season, and I thought it was going to have that opportunity to be the greatest show in television history. And of course season 8 came, and that has been recorded as just a bleep show. So I'm excited. I saw Tennessee yesterday. I don't know if you guys watched the video, but Tennessee's football account put out the I guess the hallway leading down into the stadium from the north side, or going into the north end zone, and they played Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill while they were in the upside down, and that looked really cool. I was glad to see Tennessee taking the initiative to reach that audience, you know.
We've added that Kate Bush song to the bumper music selection here.
Nice. Good job, Hickman.
Thanks.
That's what you got to do. You got to be thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always get it. And what's cool, and you guys might have talked about this, but, I mean, Kate recorded that song. She wrote it. I think she had all production rights as far as like being in charge of the label, and so she's, I think, been making about like 850,000 euros every week for like the past couple, for like last month.
Wow.
Just that song making it back to the top.
Congrats to her.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
What else you got for us, Bert?
Well, oh, Nate, you're trying to run him off already? Man.
No, I just, seen a lot of stuff lately that I've felt like this could be in the Burt Macklin segment of the week. So I figured he might have some headlines, Ooh. Some stories.
You guys talked about the dead bear. Not our bear, but like the bear in the smoke.
No.
No.
We haven't.
We haven't talked about this. This is oh, wow. So I think this made national news, but there was a cabin rental place where one morning the owners had left their car locked. Windows were not down. There was not a way in which, like, the bear easily could have gotten into the vehicle, but the vehicle was not locked. TWRA is now telling everybody, hey, make sure if you're up there, lock your vehicle. The bear had found smelt some food that was inside the vehicle from this camping trip, manages to open the door with its paws and its teeth. Door shuts behind the bear. The bear gets trapped inside the vehicle. Temperatures reach like 140 degrees, and this bear dies of heat exhaustion. So you got to imagine being the owner coming back that night, and it's just a giant, fully grown black bear just dead in your vehicle, just torn the whole thing up.
That would be a rough evening.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to have that happen to me.
I thought you were talking about the wasn't there another bear that like attacked a family that was camping? They had to put it down. I thought you were talking about that one. No one will say it, Bert, but we got too many bears in the Smoky Mountains.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah,
whoa.
No.
Whoa. Maybe we got many people in the bear's lair.
No, it's true. Like, they're out of control. There's too many of them.
Out of control. Why are they out of control?
This was in Sevierville.
Why are they out of control? Because people feed them and leave food out. That's not the bear's fault.
There's too many.
There's too many people.
I'm not really talking about where the people are. I'm just talking about even in the they say even in the remote areas of the Smokies, there's just the bear population's gotten too high because we protect them too much.
It's too healthy.
Too many deer in East Tennessee too. We just take them out. Like, all right, just have at it.
Bert, did you hear another animal story for you? I don't know if you were going to get to this one, but they found a new record python in the Florida Everglades.
No, but that doesn't surprise me. I haven't heard that, but I mean, I know people.
218 pounds.
Mm.
How many feet?
I think it was only like 18 feet.
Only 18 feet.
So you should have seen this thing, boy. Though. Yeah, it was a female. She was pregnant. She had 132 eggs on board.
Oh, is she a cruise ship?
I mean,
those things have no natural predators down there. Like they just. Ever since they've been released, like there's no stopping it at this point.
They're taking over. You mentioned white-tailed deer. There's a white-tailed deer shortage.
Hmm?
That was this python's last meal, was a white-tailed deer.
Well, she was eating for 120.
133.
Sorry.
Whatever. but yeah, like apparently the pythons are eating all the deer, and now they're not, like, all the puma population is dying off and is endangered in the Everglades because there's no deer for them to eat. Because the snakes are eating them all.
Sad.
Let's ship some deer from up here down there. About hit, like, four of them every single time I drive from just Nashville to Knoxville. Like,
we need to get DeSantis to send us some of those government dollars, subsidize that, man. We can make a killing. You know people in transportation, right?
Just
say yes.
Somewhat. I'm not going to fully commit to something I'm not willing to fully commit to.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that's an interesting story. I'm glad you told me that. Also, there was another story where, they had to, I guess the Humane Society had to rescue 47 cats from a car.
47 cats from one car.
Yeah. Apparently the owner had recently become homeless, but was just one of those people that just constantly took in animals. And he's like, oh, I feel bad for you.
Sad.
So then they just find 47 vehicles in a Minnesota car. And the owner, to his credit or her credit, not 100% sure if it was a man or a woman, said to the Humane Society, after they explained to this person like how dangerous the situation could be for the animals, he's like, all right, y'all can take them in.
And, hell of an owner right there, or rescuer.
That one's got a better ending than the bear story.
Mm-hmm.
And then my final story, personal situation. 4th of July, this weekend. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised you guys are actually even doing a show today.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
That's not important. What is important is that for people that have animals that don't like fireworks, make sure your pets cannot get outside of the fence or the house because it could set them off. And to prove just how dire of a situation it can be, I'm going to tell a story from back in my day. All right, so it's probably like circa 2014. We have the 4th of July. This is actually for Memorial Day, but this story will work just the same. What was the thing they always had in down off Gay Street?
Boomsday?
Yeah, Boomsday. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Sorry, I hadn't had my coffee yet. So Boomsday was happening. My friend had decided to go to Charlotte for the weekend. He asked my other friends that lived in South Knox near me if they would watch his dog. My two friends that lived in South Knox said, "Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem." They had another dog there. So she would have some company. The dog would have some company. So they end up going out that night. Somehow, my friend who's in Charlotte his dog gets out of the house after the fireworks start to go on. My friends in South Knox come back, can't find the dog. So we'll call the friend who can't find the dog, Houston, and we'll say it's Nate's dog that Nate let Houston watch. So
I don't like this.
Yeah, so Nate's in Charlotte. We could even just say South Carolina. We could just say Nate went home. Mm. Nate went back home to South Carolina. Houston's here in Knoxville watching the dog. Can't find the dog. Houston calls Davey, and he's like, guys, he's like, Davey, I can't find the dog. I don't know what happened to it. Have you seen her? I'm freaking out. Nate's coming back soon. I don't know what to do. Hopefully we can find the dog before we have to tell Nate that the dog's missing. So Houston's basically running every which way, trying to find the dog. He gets on social media, just check a Facebook site, and he says, oh, there's the dog. Somebody posted that they found the dog on this Facebook post. It's great news. I'm going to contact this woman and see how I can get the dog back. Well, so Houston calls this woman, and she goes, yeah, we found the dog. Me and my daughter did. My daughter's a student at UT, and I came down here and so to see her this weekend, and we'll make sure that the dog's safe, so you don't have to worry about that. And so Houston's like, great, where can I meet you to get the dog? And so this is where the lady goes, well, it's going to be a little difficult. I'm back in Maryland, so... And they're like, wait a second, you said Maryland? Like the state? Yeah, the state. Apparently this woman came all the way down here to visit her daughter, found the dog on the side of the road, picked the dog up. Instead of doing like a normal thing of checking the dog's collar, seeing where the dog needed to go, just decided to say, well, the shelter was closed or something, which I don't think the shelter is actually closed. I mean, there's always dogs there. Somebody's got to be there. And just decided, you know what, I want this dog. I'm just going to take this dog back to Maryland. So at this point, Houston's like, you know, I like Nate, but not enough where I'm going to drive up to Maryland to get his dog. And so Nate's had a very long weekend. He's probably really hung over, and it's just been like a whole thing where he's just ready to get back to Tennessee, take a nap, see his dog, and get some rest. He then gets a phone call from Houston, and Houston's like, hey, buddy, so the dog got out. And I don't know how to tell you this, but your dog's in Maryland. And then the Nate's, of course, like, what the hell are you talking about?
How did that happen?
And then, of course, the story gets told. And so then Nate decides to drive up to Maryland as soon as he gets back for basically like an 18-hour round trip. He's tired. He's ready just to get home. So then he even gets a speeding ticket on the way back for going like 90 miles an hour through a construction zone in like Greenville. And that's a whole thing. Or he's now having to, on top of that, and just imagine if this was today, like how expensive gas would be. Gosh, I mean, that's just, you probably already drank your pockets because you're a broke college kid in the first place. So, like, you're just really you're SOL in that situation. So, long story short, just make sure you keep pets locked up this weekend if you think they can get out.
That's great advice.
Thanks.
And that's my story.
All I'm picturing in my head is just old Ty trotting around Baltimore.
Yeah.
Good job, Chris.
Owning that city.
It was a hypothetical story.
Why did our
Hickman
names get put into this? I don't know. Anyway, thanks for the
Bert Backlund, big fan of the show.
It made it easier to paint the picture instead of me just saying this guy or that guy.
Gotcha. You know, okay.
You guys are part of the show that people are listening to right now. It's just it's trying to help out the listeners, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Put their needs first.
Mm-hmm. Always.
So,
yeah.
Well, boys, I got to go, but love you. Hope you have a happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
You too, Bert.
Why did I have to be the one who lost the dog?
I don't know. I didn't make the rules. Yeah, a bear ripped into a tent and injured a mother and daughter at Elkmont 2 weeks ago. Wow.
Too many bears.
Exactly. They had to put it down.
No, they shouldn't have had food in there.
Well, there's one less bear now, so.
Yep. Yeah, Nate, you're getting
two,
what you
actually
want.
They said it wasn't really... They're not sure it was their fault. The bear was approximately 350 pounds, which is not standard for this time of year, suggesting the bear previous and likely consistent access to non-natural food sources. Other people feeding this bear.
Mm-hmm.
And then this mother and daughter get attacked.
I feel like you could fight off a 350-pound bear At least better than you could a 350-pound human.
What about a bear and a Wolverine?
Wolverine first, bear last. I don't actually, they might turn on each other.
Oh, is that your plan?
In case you're wondering, you should not play dead if a black bear attacks. You should fight back.
Yeah,
right.
If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lay down. If it's white, good night. That's the rule on bears.
Words to live by. Back.
You are the king of Kodak. Hour 3 continues here from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Band on Radio.
You don't think orcas are cool?
I mean, I think they're cool. I think they're very remarkable creatures. I just don't think they're the cutest creature. Especially not if you're comparing them to river otters. Like, river otters are adorable.
They can be cute. Got a bunch of them around here.
Cold-blooded killers.
I don't think they're cold-blooded.
Well, they're, you know what I mean.
What do they kill for fun?
Each other.
No.
No, bear actually gave me, because I was talking about how cute they were. You know, bear, he's somewhat of an animal expert.
Self-proclaimed.
And he said, dude, river otters are like the meanest little critters out there. They kill each other for fun.
Kind of like Hunger Games style, huh? Have you watched Alone ever?
No. That's the survival show, correct?
Yeah.
I have not.
Yep. They're the current season, there's polar bears where they are, up in Labrador, Canada.
What? I mean, I'm watching this. I haven't seen a polar bear yet.
That's the whole intro, though. Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
I think it's bogus.
We were talking about bears earlier. They had, you know, had to put the one down and elk hunt. Sad.
What do you mean sad, mister? There's too many bears.
Well, I don't like them being put down because it's
some what do you want us to do? Just ask them to leave?
Idiot human fed them. No, I just want the ecosystem to be right.
What's wrong with the ecosystem? It's the Smoky Mountains.
I know. We drop too much food around.
That's not the bear's fault.
I didn't say it was the bear's fault. It's not the bear's fault. There's too many bears.
Well, you're saying we got too many bears. Maybe we got too many dumb people dropping food.
We definitely have that.
How many bears?
Those aren't exclusive things, buddy.
Well, you're blaming the wrong person.
How many bears do you want to kill, though?
I don't want to kill any bears.
Well, then if you think we have too many, you think we obviously need to get rid of some. How many would you want to get rid of?
They should. Well, not necessarily. They could just gradually not have as many, you know, little cubs.
I don't think they really...
You want to sterilize the bears?
No. I'm just saying. The numbers are off.
So we need to start
nothing cuter than a little bear cub.
Smoky Mountain Black Bear Safe Sex Campaign.
There you go. Dump a bunch of condoms.
Prophylactics for the bears.
Helicopters.
Bears would not know how to use those, Nate. That is so stupid.
And their claws would poke a hole in it. It wouldn't even work.
Yeah.
They can open door handles, apparently. That was really sad about the overheating in the car.
He learned his
lesson. Yeah, they said it got up to 140 degrees inside the car.
He learned his lesson.
I felt bad leaving my dog in the car the other day with it running and the air conditioning on.
You better have left it running. Good gosh. I mean, what's wrong with you?
It was just 2 seconds.
That's what they all say. Then you get
the
held
car
up at
was
the counter.
Running. What's wrong with that?
What if the car had stopped? What if it just turned off?
Like I said, it was only 2 seconds.
Why didn't you take him in?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Why?
It's the grocery store. You met my dog?
They don't care.
Talk about food motivated.
He behaves very well, though.
He does. He's a good boy.
Good boy that sits in the hot car.
No, it's a cool car. Hell, I was sweating more walking in.
The truck is dark in color. It absorbs the heat.
Yeah, It's the opposite of the Butch Jones Mercedes. You know, it's got the cool seats. You know?
Does it really have the cool seats?
Yeah. It's nice. Especially this time of year. It does make you feel like you've kind of peed on yourself, though.
Hate that feeling.
If you got the swamp butt, you
it's
know?
Been a minute since I've peed on myself, but I'll take your word for it.
You know what I mean?
Pee-pee pants.
Swamp butt.
I know you know what I mean by that.
That's the worst
especially
feeling
if you're out
ever.
There working zip lines in the middle of summer.
This time of year?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have a streak of sweat just going all
yeah,
the way
we got
down.
It. We got where the sweat goes. We got where it goes.
That's why I started buying darker colored shorts.
Smart.
Yep. What is this, Alone season 9? I don't remember 8. I remember 7, Rock House. I just don't remember.
Rock House.
I don't remember after
I feel
that.
Like that the last one was really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I may look it up and see if it'll come
on,
back to
were
me.
They on Vancouver Island? They were some. It was some
with
island.
The Grizzly Bears.
Yeah, but yeah. No one ever saw them. That was the one where like 3 people got off the boat and they were like, I can't make this. I can't do it. I got to go home. There's a bear track over there.
Yeah.
And on this season, the guys are like, can't wait till it gets cold enough so I can start hunting these bad boys.
Well, I wanted to ask you, have they gotten people that are almost too good this season? You know, they're not making the stupid mistakes. They're not freaking out. Like, isn't it nice to have a little bit of a blend, like 3 or 4 contenders? How many do they have, 10 people?
10. Start with 10.
Isn't it better to have kind of like 3 to 4 contenders and then 3 kind of like underdog contenders and then 3 people that you know they're going to do some stupid crap?
I think they want to make it fair. Like, you want to get people that are equally
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think
efficient.
But I think that makes it less entertaining.
Well, keep in mind, I mean,
like the guy from, I mean, it's not really, I guess it might be spoiling it. But
what?
The one guy from Tennessee that built the hot tub. I mean, that was like one of the best entertainment part of the
Oh, man,
the
this is going to be great. I'll go get my berries and catch a couple fish, and I'll just relax in the hot tub.
He found an old truck bed, Hickman, and he built a fire underneath it. And then he filled up with water, and he had a hot tub.
Wasn't he the guy who like left his saw somewhere and couldn't find it? Mm-mm. And that's why he had to go home?
It was dumber than that.
What did he do?
He lost his fire starter.
That's what it was, fire starter. Fire starter.
Not lost it like 3 months in. No, like lost it. Like night one.
Like day 2,
like,
yeah.
Like he lit the hot tub and lost it.
And couldn't find it. Went back the next, had it snowed the next day or something?
Well, and the other thing that was dumb is, like, he made no effort to try and figure out a way to start a fire without it.
No.
He was just like, I don't have my fire starter, deuces. I'm out of here.
Hey, this is Frankie. Yeah, I'm tapping out. You sure, man? We, like, just dropped you off. Come get me, I'm scared.
I don't have fire.
I mean, I feel like fire would be pretty important.
But there was a guy on this one, though, that was like, if I can't get a fire started, like, I'm like, it's not even that cold yet. Like,
it's still pretty cold.
People spend the night, they have a damn sleeping bag. I was like, you're not going to freeze. I mean, he has a fire starter. It was just a little wet. He couldn't find anything dry enough to get a fire started. It's like, buddy, you can spend a few days with no fire. It's not the end of, I feel like some of these people, if they can't survive the way they've practiced,
Yeah.
It just blows their whole like mental game.
Sure.
And because there's no one else there with you, which that is a cool part of the show. Since there's no one else with them, you can see how being by yourself makes people that are pretty damn good at this stuff start to really make some weird decisions and do stuff. You're just like, why are you even messing with that? But they just get kind of tunnel vision because there's no one else there to kind of just like cheer you up or, you know, vent
or assure
to,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Bounce ideas.
They did
off
have
of.
That couples season.
No, it wasn't very good.
What does this come on?
History Channel.
Have to give it a watch.
You might like it.
I like survival shows. I used to watch Man vs. Wild all
that
the time.
That show sucks.
Did you watch what's
Survivor
Stroud?
Man?
Les Stroud. Yeah.
This is a better version.
This
of that.
Is 10 Les Strouds. Like they filmed themselves. They're by themselves. You know, they don't have like
the cameras have gotten better and better though as the season because now they got them where they can wear them all and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some of the earlier seasons like. Cool stuff would happen, and you're like, you just heard it because the camera's
right.
Like laid on the ground. You're just like looking at a tree as this guy's over here, like killing some animal. You're like, oh, I didn't get to see that.
Or screaming because he like nicked himself with his axe or something like that.
Well, the one guy got it right. He's like, my biggest enemy is myself.
That was Alan, right? The big guy who won?
No, this is a guy in the preview of this season.
Oh, okay.
In the trailer, like the intro, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, old Alan, I mean.
Alan was good. Roland was good. I forget the guy who killed the moose, but he was really good too. Because he killed a freaking moose.
Sometimes less is more, you know? Callie is the girl from season 7. She was a baller. You'd love her, Hickman. She's from Montana.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What part?
Flathead Valley.
What's this girl's name? I'm going to look her up.
Callie Russell.
How do you spell Callie?
She was good. She got on like all those post show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think they kind of felt bad for her because they were like, you were definitely good enough to win. And it was just, you know.
You're spoiling it.
But you already said she should have won.
Yeah, this girl's awesome.
Yes, you did. You're like, I felt really bad for that one girl, Callie.
I said that in the break.
Right. It's like 4 years ago. I mean, if you're not watching it, you're not watching
it. Yeah, but Hickman might have started the season, you know?
He still can. She hangs on for a while.
She medical checkout.
Yeah, it seems like if you get past like, well, I guess some of the guys run out of food and stuff, but it feels like if you make it past a month or two, like it's going to be medical. Like at that point, those people are just like, I'm not tapping.
What? Yeah. So you,
unless an accident happens.
They just see who stays the longest?
Yeah, whoever stays the longest wins.
Yeah, there was like a 100-day challenge where like even if you were the last one there, if you didn't make it to 100 days, you didn't get anything. That was the $1 million one.
I thought you still won the regular prize.
If
you didn't make it to 100, which is 500.
Maybe there was.
But if you made it to 100, it was in the Arctic. It was above the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
If you made it 100 days, you won $1 million.
Right.
The last person standing and passed 100 days, you'd win $1 million.
Right. So if there were two people that made it to day 100, the next one to drop would lose everything, and right. The other guy would get everything.
She's
that
was from the Flathead Valley.
That's what I just
he just
you.
Said that.
Oh, did you say
he
that?
Said, where's she from in Montana? I said, Flathead Valley. Yeah, that was that season. She was in the Arctic.
What was the name of that lake?
She never had like a problem. It's crazy.
What was the name of that lake? It's like the deepest freshwater lake in the world.
Yeah.
Deer Lake? I can't remember.
Maybe.
But yeah, they get 10
items.
Now that's the interesting part.
For example, this was her list. I just had this pulled. So she took an axe, a saw, a knife, pot, a ferro rod. That's the
a pot,
starter.
Not pot.
Yeah, a pot. Sleeping bag, snare wire, fishing line and hooks, bow and arrows, paracord.
So how much stuff can you bring with you?
You get the clothing and gear list that everybody gets.
Right.
So your clothing list is the same for everybody. It's like, you know, one pair of boots, one pair of like, I don't know, like kind of like walk, I don't know, like Crocs, for example, something like that. And then
yeah.
like X amount of pairs of socks. I don't know, maybe like three.
Socks, pants, underwear, shirt.
Yeah, pants. Like base layer, mid layer, like jacket. Mm-hmm. And then there's a list of other things and you get 10 off the list.
But it's like some categories, you can only take two out of this category, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it depends on where they're going as that list
right.
kind of changes a little bit.
Like one of the categories is food and no one ever takes any.
I feel like that'd be the most important, honestly.
Well, it is, but like if you can't catch food, like a bag of trail mix isn't going to save your life.
Yeah.
But there are other uses that I'm surprised no one else has kind of figured out. But
you could take the food, use the trail mix as bait.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, and no one's done that yet, which is a little bit surprising. And so then they'll go check their snares and their fall traps, and they're like, oh, I haven't killed a squirrel in a week. So, man, if you had a little crunched up peanut under that thing, you'd probably get one. Maybe a little M&M. Squirrels love M&Ms. Mm-hmm. But it is, like, what? There's always weird rules, too, about where they go. Like, in this one, there's harbor seals, but you can't hunt them. They're protected. And there's...
But there's beavers you can hunt.
There's beavers you can hunt. There's
squirrel.
There's all these trout streams, but you can't do like a net. You have to fish for them or catch them with a dip net, which is basically impossible. Whereas some places they can do.
Oh, yeah. What's that type of?
I want to say drag net, but it's not a drag net. But like they put a net on a long stick and just lean it out over the water, and the fish just swim into the net, and then they get, you know, get caught. But like there was one
gill net,
yeah.
Yeah.
There was one where this lady was on like this little bay, and it was just covered in like clams, mussels, all types of stuff that she could eat. But you're not allowed to eat those there. So she's like, I literally have enough food to win this entire thing based on where I was dropped, and I can't eat any of it.
Wasn't it? Well, there's like a toxin in one type, I think. That's why they couldn't eat that because it was like dangerous.
And then the other one was protected
or something. Yeah. Sometimes, like, the gill net will catch fish. because it goes so long. Sometimes it'll catch a bunch of fish during one season, like season of the year. But then as it gets colder and it gets into winter, then the fish leave or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so now you have you like stored and dried enough fish to get through that part, or, you know.
It's cool. They'll build like smokers and stuff to preserve the meat.
And then like the wolverines will come in trying to steal your food. So you have to like hang it. Like
there was one season where like a fox kept stealing this dude's stuff, but he couldn't kill the fox.
Yeah.
Could you kill the wolverines?
Yes, you could kill the wolverines.
There's my strategy.
Yeah.
Kill the wolverines.
And then eat them.
Snack on those guys for a couple months.
The weirdest mental thing was that guy that had all the fish. You remember that?
Which guy?
He had tons of fish stored up and dried out, and they were fine to eat. But he got so mentally captivated by making sure he had enough to last him
that he didn't eat what he had.
That he didn't eat enough.
Yeah.
And he eventually just wasted away.
So, he got sent home with, like, 60 pounds of, like, fish to eat because he didn't eat enough. Because he was worried about making it last. And finally, he just lost too much weight. And he was like, no, I can eat. I got, and they're like, no, sorry,
you haven't been eating. Like, it was like a disorder. I mean, like, basically, it was like an eating disorder, but
in reverse,
in the wilderness,
like a non-eating disorder.
Yeah, it was like he got so in his own brain about making sure he only ate so much each day that he was saving it and saving it and saving it that he wasn't, that he just, I mean, you just see the dude. I mean, just like he came out of concentration camp. I mean, just, this is nuts. But because there's no one else there saying, dude, just you better eat something. You know, there's no mom there like, you're looking really skinny. Here, eat some more fish. Like,
and I don't know how,
catch more.
Is the health check once a week? Or is
they
it,
never really tell you. I don't know. I
mean, it might be more. Because, I mean, some guys will go from you're A-OK to the next health check. It's like, oh, you're gone.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Do they send guys out to them?
Mm-hmm, yeah. They send out like a cameraman and like two like
docs.
Medical techs.
Yeah.
And they do like blood pressure, blood work, you know.
Now, do people ever run into other contestants, or
never.
Are they just spread
no.
out so far?
They're spread out. It's like crazy how far apart they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, never.
It's
sometimes
never.
You get a little bit better spot than somebody else, but it like they try to make them as even as they can, and then it's just a random draw. So,
but if you're on like a spot that has a hidden animal trail and you find it, you have a benefit. And then some guys are on the water, but it's like super shallow or super deep, so the fishing's not very good. And some other guys in this fishing hot spot. It's pretty interesting. But they claim that every spot has everything you would possibly need to survive. Like, this spot might have a lot of squirrels. This spot might have good fishing. Like, everything's supposed to be as equal as possible. But if you know anything about animals, like, that's not always true.
Yeah, and land. I mean, and they can use anything they find. So sometimes they find, like, what we would consider garbage sometimes, and it's, like, a big deal. You know, like, one guy made a lure out of, like, some
can lids
he found that actually worked. One guy built like a whole little dock system out so he could fish further out into the thing. Guys have tried to build boats, usually a terrible idea.
Yeah, the hot tub guy though, I mean, he's still
that was a Tennessee boy. Yeah.
I had so much hope for him too.
I did too. And then he loses his fire starter, like episode two.
And he just leaves. I was like, dude, like try to
rub some sticks together.
Because once you make the fire once, if you're very careful, you can just keep that thing rolling forever.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it wasn't cold yet. I
did
mean,
you
they start in like the fall, right? Don't they always start in the fall?
Yes.
And then it goes into winter. That way they know no one's going to like, they're not going to have two people like survive for like, you know, 220 days.
Throughout the summer, right.
So like it was fall. The weather was nice. He loses his fire starter. Instead of just camping in his sleeping bag, like, I mean, we go backpacking all the time in the Smokies and won't build a fire and it gets cold at night. You're in your, you know, whatever, your 20 degree bag. You're fine. Like he's just like, no fire. I'm out of here.
That's what's wrong with this country these days. You know, just a roadblock comes up, and we don't want to try and find a way around it. We just pack up and go home.
Not literally. To mention, he literally could have still found the damn thing. Like,
yeah.
He knew the path and the two spots that he either dropped it or the path in between. Wouldn't you stay 3 or 4 days, at least looking for 100%. It, and just sit around trying to do the, like, what do they call it, like the frictions, you know, find the right?
Todd says the guy with the fish, that was when they were in Patagonia. He caught all those fish in Patagonia.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that one where they were on that super deep lake. I felt like Roland, before he killed the muskox, was just stacking, like, lake trout and pike.
Yeah.
But the guys who catch them, like, depending on how good you are at preserving fish, like, a lot of those guys just caught a fish, eat a fish, caught a fish, eat a fish.
Yeah.
And the one guy just saved it, you know, starved himself, basically.
That'd be me.
And then a lot of, like, it's weird, too. Like, people will sit there and they'll be on camera for what seems like an hour. Like, I have so much I need to do today. Man, I have a lot to do today. I've got to find... And they don't do anything. They just get, like, this paralysis state of mind of, like, they're so freaked out about everything that they should be doing and not accomplishing that they just sit there and fall deeper into this hole of, like, I don't have a shelter. I don't have food. I'm wasting calories, and I'm like they find no cure for what they're doing wrong.
And people go the other way too, where they overwork themselves, where mm-hmm. then they're starving later, and they can't get enough food. Mm-hmm. There's a balance between only doing what's necessary to conserve energy, you know, and depending on where they are, it's kind of different.
I think I just sleep as much as possible.
I mean, once it gets cold, that's pretty much all you can do. Like. And certain
it gets really dark super early too.
Yeah, like certain places you can do that. Like if you're throwing out a gill net, like there's no need to sit there and watch it. So like just throw it. Yeah, throw it out, check it. Throw it out, check it. Like snares and stuff. Set your snares. Go check them in the morning. But some people are just like, I think I'm just going to go take a 10-mile hike today, and the terrain's awful. You know, it's like
terrible strategy.
Or they're out there just like chopping down whole trees trying to build some massive log cabin. You know, they're going to like live forever. I mean. Usually the winners have a nice balance mentally of like what to do. They're very skilled. They are excellent on the food front.
Yeah, a lot of the food stuff is kind of you got to get lucky. Like you got to be in a good fishing spot. You got to kill a moose. I still can't believe.
Now, do they only take people who are like you would consider pros at like survival?
Yeah,
stuff,
they're all like
they're not going to take just a random doctor from Chicago.
No. They're like a lot of these people are outdoor guides, like hunting guides, fishing guides. You know,
in the earlier seasons, they'd have some less experienced people. Yeah. There's still people that think they can do it and they have some experience. The newer seasons, I feel like they've almost gotten too good of experts. Which has made it actually slightly less entertaining, but now Callie snagged a porcupine. And of course, you know, ate every bit of it.
And this was in Alaska?
That was in the Arctic. Yeah. So I don't know what technically it was. Canada, I guess?
Yeah.
Way up there.
Dude, they had porcupines up there.
Like mm-hmm. the whole place like froze like late I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, she did a really good job ice fishing actually. Remember that? She dug in the ice and laid her net under the ice.
Mm. No, I didn't remember that.
Oh, yeah, she smoked it.
I thought that was the other girl that did that.
It might have been. I thought it was her.
No, the other girl caught one, like yanked it out of the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hickman, you wouldn't last 20 minutes.
Big week for
holes.
Dude,
I could. I guarantee you I could last like 3 days.
3 days.
That's it? 3 days?
Yeah, 3 days.
Mm. Not mentally tough, huh?
I'm very mentally tough.
Mm-hmm.
Could you make it 100 days? That's usually what it takes to win, about 100 days or so.
If I really set my mind to it, I could probably give it a run.
Mm.
I mean, there's nothing else to do except just survive, you know?
Yeah. Get food, build shelter, stay warm.
You have to record yourself. That's kind of another thing.
That's
too,
the hard, yeah, that'd be a hard part.
Final segment of the day of the week, Freedom Friday edition, next. Final segment of the day of the week, Freedom Friday edition.
Happy 4th out there. Hickman, come on.
Come on.
I make it longer than 5 minutes. I bet I'd beat you.
Well, you are a experienced fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you'd probably have.
Oh, that's it? That's the only thing?
Just that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I think I could beat you.
Interesting.
Let's try it. See who can last the longest staying.
Nate, can we have 30 days off the show? We can phone in.
Pretty much are. I mean.
All right, Hickman, that's it for vacation. I'm canceling the beach trip. We're going to go live in the woods for a week and see who does better.
Where are you going, Smokies?
Smokies are tough, man. I don't know.
Hey, buddy, I would have the edge on you there.
I don't. They say the Smokies are like the hardest survival woods, just because like food is pretty scarce.
It's the hardest to also. I've been told it's actually like really complicated to like navigate, find your way back.
It's
and like
the worst.
Mark a trail.
It's the worst one. Mm-hmm. It is the most dangerous national park because there's no sight lines. It's all just trees. Like you get off the trail, and if you don't remember exactly which way you went, like odds of you finding it again are slim.
I think I could do it up there.
What would you eat in the Smokies?
Berries.
Berries.
Yeah.
A lot of berries up there.
Yeah.
You know,
certain times a year. Not right now. That's why the bear attacks are up, apparently. I read that earlier.
Oh, because the berry population
late
is
May
down?
And June are the worst time for bear attacks because the berries are gone.
Really? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, at work, we usually have like this one, like, I don't know, football field range of just absolute, just huge blackberries that always pop up.
Yeah.
And I'll always enjoy snacking on those throughout the day, but they're not there this year yet.
Hmm.
Blackberries come in late.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. We used to have a patch at the house. Got sacrificed.
Of course it did. Way to go, Nate. You're killing the bears.
We didn't have bears. Use the blackberries.
Those Farragut bears, man. They're really going to struggle.
Hey,
to find
easy.
Food.
I don't live in Farragut. Don't.
The bears come in. They get down there sometimes.
Don't besmirch my address like that.
Could you kill a deer?
Yeah.
No, you couldn't.
I mean, with or without any kind of...
You get a bow and arrow if
How
you want it.
How much practice are you guys getting? Zero?
Oh, no, I'd want practice.
How long could you live with zero practice? Like I just got all your gear out there right now, and you're just straight... I'll let you eat lunch. I'll let you eat a big lunch, and then straight dropping you off at Newfound Gap, and you can't come in contact with any people. You just got to go out there. How many days are you lasting?
No practice,
no food in your stomach. You're making it 2 hours.
You could eat lunch. A big lunch.
I can go 2 weeks at least.
Two weeks.
You're full of crap.
I mean, 2 weeks, if I find water, I can make it 2 weeks, even if I don't eat anything.
No, you'll find water. The Smokies.
I know, yeah.
So you're going to eat a big lunch, come breakfast the next day, you're packing it up, and your ass is going to the house.
No, it's not true.
Yeah, you could starve for a week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm
gonna find berries. Like Hickman said.
Physically, you can starve, but would Houston Kress sit there through starvation and tough it out?
Yes.
I don't think he would. Yes.
What are you saying? I'm mentally weak.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow.
Now, if you could study up on like which
plants to eat,
yeah.
Now, the two of us, if we work together, I feel like
we'd
be fine.
We'd build a new city, an empire.
We wouldn't.
You King of Kodak and King Kress. We
you
just have
to be selling swimming pools. No,
oh yeah. Guide service. We'd have double-decker cabins. People would want to rent those cabins by the time we were finished with it. Hardwood floors.
Oh, man. Now, the Smokies is like a rainforest. Like
I know.
That's the worst.
And me and Chris are going to commercialize it.
You never dry out. And you got to watch hypothermia and stuff.
Hypothermia.
Keep your sleeping bag dry.
It's key.
Crucial.
That's you wrap it in the tarp.
And go synthetic. Yeah, don't go wool.
Wool?
Or whatever.
Down.
I don't know why I said wool. Yeah, don't go down.
Here's your wool sleeping bag at 50 pounds.
Down doesn't insulate when it's wet. Just
I know.
Got to go synthetic.
Bear said you're done in 72 hours.
Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
You got some time off coming up.
I do.
See if you can go a whole week.
I've always wanted to do that for a month, just see if I could do it.